Okay, let's begin. I'm going to put you all on mute. Before I put you on mute, I just want to make sure everyone can hear me clearly.
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, let's begin. In case I go down, you'll let me know. Okay, in case I go down, holler. We're up to the end of Chavakuk. The end of Chavakuk. The last two psukim. Paragimel. Perek Gimel Pasik Yud Zayin. We're going to go to the end. Pasik Yud Zayin, Ches, Yud Tes. Let's do the three psukim again. We started yesterday. We started on Friday. Let's just recap very quickly. Ki Seina, this according to most Mefarshim, is a description of what's going to be at the time of Melchemes Goyg Umog, the time of Mashiach. And the Pasik here says, Ki Seina Lois Sifrach, the fig. The Se'ena Lois Sifrach will not blossom. We're describing a different selection of the Zayin Minim. It's interesting. We know that the Meraglim took a Rimoin, took a pomegranate, took a fig, and a grape. And here we have a Zayis, an Aleph. This is not from what the Meraglim. We're going to select a certain fruit. Why don't we be consistent? Why don't we take the same fruit that the Meraglim selected? To select a grape, to select a fig, and to select a rimoin, a pomegranate. Right? In the Pasuk, let me open up the Chumash. In Parsha Shelach, last week. Pasuk says, the Meraglim ascended to the land. And what did they? Vayalu vanege vayavo ad chevron v'shom achiman. Okay. And vayavo ad nachal eshkol vayichusu mishom zimera v'eshkol ano v'mechad. Rashi learns they cut down one branch, and on the branch was a cluster of grapes. Then it says umin harimoinim, the pomegranates, umin hateinim, the figs. Three items were selected to be used as a sample to describe the beauty of the world. They used the Meraglim, used it to use as a technique to criticize the gift of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here, when we describe Yemos HaMashiach and the collapse of the economy, it focuses on a fig, which is so far good, Ki Seina Lo Sifrach, the Ein Yevul Ba'Gefanim, and there is no produce, there is no the growth in the Geffen, that's the same thing as the Eshkol Anovim, Kichesh Ma'ase Zayis. And instead of the pomegranate, it selects the Zayis, not the Rimoin. So that requires a discussion, what's going on? Why if we're going to describe three specific fruits, why are we going to here select the Zayis? Whereas in the Meraglim, we select the Rimoin. Okay, maybe we'll see something soon. But let's put that aside for the moment. U'shedeimos lo yosa oichel. The shedeimos, which means the fields, did not produce oichel. This is written in the past tense, as we are very familiar. That in prophecy is usually written in the past tense, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is as if it already happened. Gozar mi michlo tzoin. Gaza means to be cut off. Mimichla means the enclosure where sheep are found. Then bokar, borifasim, tsoin is a behemadaka, a small animal. And bokar, a behemagasais, borifasim is the corral. This is the enclosure that is used for bokar. Obviously, each type of animal needs a different type of environment. Pasik yud ches, va'ani b'hashem e'eloiza. And yet he says something shocking here. Chavakuk says that even though the situation appears to be dire, it appears to be that the world is coming to an end, it doesn't matter. Va'ani, as far as I am concerned, I don't have a worry in the world. Bahashem, in Hashem Eloiza, I exult, I rejoice. Agila belokei yeshi, two expressions. In Eloiza and Agila, we have to see the difference between these two expressions. In the God of my salvation, Pasuk Yutes, we said we're going to talk about this. Elokim Hashem Cheli. Elokim Hashem, two names of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Here it's very unusual. We put Elokim before we put Hashem. Elokim is Midas Adin, Hashem is Midas Sorachamim. And the truth is, here it's not spelled as Yud Kev. I shouldn't really say the Tzinnus Harachamim, because here it's really spelled as Aleph, Dalet, Nun Yud, which is Adnus. Midas Harachamim, let's do that for the moment. We'll come back to this. Cheli, Hashem is my strength. Vayosem raglai ko ayolos, Hashem has made my legs swift like an ayol. The alba mosai yadrucheni, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, He allows me to tremble upon my yadrucheni, of my high places. Lamatzeach b'neginosai, for the conductor, I give over the entire book to the conductor, my entire message. B'neginosai, with it will be accompanied by musical notes, by a specific melody. Do not ruin my message by applying the wrong melody. Okay, I'll give you an example to this. Some people, they criticize, they're very not happy with Lubavitch. They love Lubavitch, but they're just upset that the Nigun is for We Want Mashiach Now. The Nigun is not necessarily the right Nigun. It's okay, well, let's leave that. That's not appropriate. Let's take that back. All right, let's take a look over here now at the Mitzudos David on these three psukim. Pasuk Yud Zayin in the Mitzudos David. I hope you have a Mitzudos David. I'm assuming you do. Every edition of Nevi'im usually has a Mitzudos David. He won the day. Pasuk Yud Zayin ki si'ena ki adayin leiparcha hata'ena written lemar Yisrael hanim shalim lita'ena adayin leikanu givura. They have not acquired might. The amtsus halev and the resolve lamoid b'amelchama lumulam. According to the parish of the Mitzvah Stavid, this pasuk over here is describing the tain over here is a description not of the fruit of the land. I told you more of the midrashic approach, which we'll see in a few moments. It's a description of the economy. That is not the way the Mitzvah Stavid understands the pasuk. He says the metaphor here is in reference to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael here is the Te'ena. They are the Te'ena. And the Te'ena has not achieved, maturity. They have not achieved maturity, and they're not ready to deal with the Milchemes Goygu Magog. Again, we are continuing in the previous psukim, where Chavakuk is describing what he sees. Milchemes Goygu Magog, Klal Yisrael is ascending to Eretz Yisrael bi'achris hayamim, and suddenly a war breaks out. The entire world gangs up against Klal Yisrael, and there's a war, and the Jewish people are caught off guard. They're not yet mature. Ki oz adayin leiparcha hata'ina v'tzen lemar Yisrael hanem shalom hata'ina adayin leikanu b'gvura v'atzmus halev, the resolve of heart la'amoid b'molchama l'mulam. Next words, ve'en yivul ba'gifonim, mitzudais, adayin lo yesh piri al ha'gifonim, upri hazayis, adayin lehu roze v'chochush, it's meek, it's weak. V'asodais, the fields, adayin lo himtzichu, they hitzmichu, they did not blossom, v'chol zehu moshe loymar, adayin ein lohem oimetz alei, ve'enem yoidim, tachsisi ha'mulchama, the Eich Yamdum Limulam, the Jewish people are not familiar in the nature of warfare. They're not experts on the battlefield. How can we expect them to go up against the mighty nations of the world which are about to attack? It is interesting today, if there's anyone in the world that's more that in our times, there's anyone that is more knowledgeable and more equipped and more familiar with war, it's the state of Israel. Okay, they have a reputation as having the best tanks. The number one tanks in the world are made by Israel. All the nations of the world, today, all the countries, if you want to buy a tank, it is the gold standard to buy a tank made by the Israelis. Now, airplanes, not necessarily. The Americans still have the advantage. The F-35s were purchased by Israel. However, the technology that the Israelis have embellished the F-35s. You read about this, to me, I find this very fascinating, this technology stuff. But the Israelis have purchased a collection of the most advanced planes in the world, the F-35s. And they didn't just purchase them off the shelf. They immediately embellished, enhanced, upgraded these airplanes with their own technology, which is a state secret. Who says that? The rumors are that even the United States is not fully aware of all of the embellishments that have been added to these machines. So we have here a problem. Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem. But according to the parish of the Matzudas Tavit, we're describing Mechemes Gugumagog, and we're hoping that this will happen, that Mashiach will come immediately. How will he understand this pasuk where it says here the Jewish people, they're not equipped, they are not familiar with warfare? It's not true. Today, adrabah, the whole world looks to the Israelis for guidance and the latest and cutting-edge technology and techniques how to engage in war. So maybe, but you know, if you were to say that this refers back to the War of Independence in 1948, if you want to say this refers to the Yom Kippur War, you want to say this refers to all the various wars that Israelis had in the past, it was definitely true. They didn't stand a chance. They had nothing. What do they have? I mean, this, you can read the encyclopedias, their books and libraries and all the miracles. The nisim and neflois of what occurred in the early years of this state of Israel, where indeed they were not equipped, they were not knowledgeable, and their survival was purely miraculous. So you want to go suggest that according to the Metzudas Tavit, the Mechemes Gog Umagog already happened? Well, many farshim do want to say that. Many farshim do want to say that a lot of these things that we're reading about in hindsight will be understood in reference to past wars. And we no longer need to suffer. The advantage of saying that all of these psukim have already come true multiple times in many different events in our history, the advantage of saying that is that we're done. We're done with the suffering. No more masks. Mark, why is your beard wearing a mask? I understand why your mouth and nose need a mask, but why does the beard need a mask?
I'm in the house.
I know. I'm just joking. You don't have to explain that.
And I will be going out.
You don't have to explain. I know all about it. I wear a mask on my chin the whole day. But I understand. Okay, but. The point over here is that many we I can't hear you. You're going out. The point here is that it will be an advantage for us to say that all of these miracles have already happened. If all of these miracles have already, all of these wars already happened, if we no longer need to suffer anymore. Okay, let's go further. Gaza min michlo, mitudos hatsoit, nichras mimokam kilo ki mo'atu. The sheep have been cut off from the place, their enclosure. Velo yesh bokar barifasi, v'tirulam arhini yishol biyosan magoilin nismatu. All of these terms, according to the mitudos, are metaphors for klal Yisrael. When they were in Galus, Nismatu, ve'ech yamdu mul ha'moin harav hazeh, how can they possibly stand up against these mighty nations? Pasuk Yitches, v'ani b'Hashem Eloiza, aval im kol zeh, ani esmach b'mishenes Hashem. Doesn't matter. This is a beautiful, beautiful theme. It doesn't really matter. I have faith in b'mishenes Hashem, in the salvation of Hashem, b'elokei yishi, b'gvuras elokei yishi. I have salvation in Hashem. Hashem written lemar im ki anachnu hamaat, even though the Jewish people are small in number, Hashem yeli b'mokim chil amrav. Hashem, my faith in Hashem is equivalent to a major army. Koyolois, kalois, koyolois, swift, koyolois, lirdoif achar ha'oyev, to pursue the enemy. The album Masayad v'chein written lemar im ki lo nisisi lidrich behadim lirdoif achar ha'oyev. Even though I've not been trained, I've never been tested to run, to climb upon high mountains. Hine hamakim baruchu yadrich oisi lirdoif al gavhei harim. He will allow me to trample upon the mighty mountains, asher sivivos Yerushalayim. in order to pursue the enemy. Lamnatzech b'neginosoy, Ritzon Lomar, Hatfila Hazos Nimsra Leben Levi, Hamenatzeach. May this psalm, may this prayer, not a psalm, this prayer, because this was Tefillah LaChavakuk. That's how it starts. Tefillah LaChavakuk Hanavi Al Shig Yoyis. May this prayer be given to, the prayer begins in Perek Beis. Right, beginning of Perek Beis, we begin with a prayer. No, not Perek Beis, Perek Gimel, I'm sorry. Perek Gimel is where the prayer begins. Right, Perek Gimel. V'Hashem Eichel Kodesh Has Mipunav Kol Haaretz Tefillah LaChavakuk HaNavi. So may this tefillah, this entire prayer, may be delivered over to a Levi who sings, which Lama Tefillah Zos Nimsal Ben Levi Amenetzech B'Shir L'Nagda B'Nigun Asher Yichaditi La. I will select. Don't adapt this to other nigunim. Don't take my words and put the latest melody to the words. You must express the prayer with the melody that I have composed. That's an amazing thing. Who says today we know you go to shul, and every week, you know, l'chadodi, the mumchim can sing for you 100 different melodies for l'chadodi. And each one, you know, has a different, brings out a different feeling. Chavakuk says, no. When you express my prayer, I'm warning you. Lamnatzech b'neginosoy. B'neginosoy means mine. My specific nigun. Hatfila hazos nimsor leben levi hamnatzech b'shir l'nagda b'nigun asher yichaditi lo. We know this is something very, very important, because this is a makar for, but we all know that on the yamim noiraim, there are certain parts of the davening, as Rav Kalman here can tell us. Rav Kalman is our resident shlich tzibur. He he's a Baal Musaf for decades in the Talmud Torah Flabush? The Talmud Torah? For decades, he was the Baal Musaf. And he can tell us is that there are certain parts of the Nusach that are sacred. You don't meddle with. You don't tamper with certain parts of the Nusach. Avos, I'm imagining the first bracha and the Chayim Esim, the second bracha. I'm imagining Aleinu is something you don't play around with. The Kedusha, don't play around with. There are different melodies, but most of them fit into the same motif, the same theme. But it's interesting that today it's not accepted. There are certain parts of the tefillah which people have taken the license, Baalei Tefillah, Chazonim, to embellish, to enhance, to change the nigud. But there are certain parts, it would be a crime against humanity if you would change the nigun, the traditional nigun. And look at this. You have this idea, mamash, in the words of the Nevi'im. You have here Chavakuk. Chavakuk is expressing a tefillah l'Chavakuk, l'Hanavi al Shigyonos, on a musical instrument. He's telling us which musical instrument should be played when the melody, when this tefillah is expressed, and not just which musical instrument should be played, which melody, and don't tamper with it, because it will change the emotion, the desired approach to what he's trying to bring out. And that should never, never, never be tampered with. Okay, let's take a look at Rashi and these Psukim. Rashi back on Pasik Yud Zayin. Rashi Kiseinu Lo Sifrach Kidar Kid Targumos. Let's look at the Targum. Let's jump to Targum. We know that according to Targum, these Psukim were describing Malch Bovel. Rashi was very different than the Mitzudos, whereas the Mitzudos, many of the Mepharshim on the page, the more modern The later Mefarshim wanted to take this as a reference to Milchemes Gog Magog, Achris Hayomim, Ra, the Targum, went back in time and put these words in the mouth or in reference to Nebuchadnezzar, who was reflecting back on the last 890 years of Jewish history, who witnessed the Jews, Klal Yisrael, survive miraculously, and all of their enemies fell before them. And here he is, he's now planning to destroy, to exile the Jewish people, to destroy their temple. And he's saying to himself, what makes me better than my predecessors? If at 890 years, nobody was able to overcome, to succeed in conquering the Jewish people, why do I think I'm going to be better? And he's reflecting upon this, and from the words of the Targum that we learned, how he learned Shah and the Pasuk, his self-conscience, there's a certain sense, his heart tells him indeed he will fail, although he may survive, succeed in the near future. He'll exile the Jewish people, he'll destroy the Beis HaMikdash, but it's not going to, his success will not endure. They will just rise up again, overcome their difficulties. V'netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. They will be back. They will be back in Yerushalayim to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and to thrive and succeed, which indeed they did for the next 420 years. And then even though there was another Golus, but look today, Klal Yisrael, we're back in business. Okay? Nothing is stopping Klal Yisrael. Everything, Baruch Hashem, is a very optimistic, Baruch Hashem, a very successful outlook for Klal Yisrael moving forward. And here is the Targum. Targum, Pasuk Yitzayin, Eich Arei Malchus Bavel Lo Siskayam. Arei, the truth is, Arei means, however, Malchus Bavel Lo Siskayam will not exist. V'loi Saved Shulton Al Yisrael. It will not achieve authority, dominion upon the Jewish people. Yiskatlun Malchei Modai. The kings of Modai will be killed. V'gibarei Yovan Lo Yatzluchun. And Machol over here, his eyes are popping out. Look at that. Look at this. Even he's putting his forehead on his head in order to keep his eyes from falling out of his head. Because Rabbi Chol is the authority on the Dal Malchios. And Rabbi Chol over here, this is going to be where how many? You only have 60. You have 60 themes in your book. By now, you're already up to probably 120. So this is going to be 121. We have another Pasuk describing over here the Dal Malchios according to the Targum. And over here, the Targum over here is going, why stop with Bavel? Let's go into the future. And nobody will be able to dominate over the Jewish people, not Bavel. And the kings of Modai will be killed. Now notice he leaves out Paras. What happened to the king of Paras? Well, it's interesting. The king of Paras didn't die. The king of Paras was not killed by our hands. The king of Modai... Modai, who was Modai? The truth is, who was Modai killed? Modai ruled for 2 years. Is that correct? 2 years? After Daryovesh HaModai. How did he meet his end, Daryovesh HaModai? Was he killed? Ramachol, I don't know my Nach. Was he killed? I don't know. But it says, Yiskadlun, he says he was killed. Yiskadlun Malchi Modai. The Gibore, who took over after Modai? Paras. Achashverosh.
Not part of our scripture, so just how that happened. Obviously, there were wars between the Greeks and Persians.
There was an agreement. We all know that there was an agreement between Paras and Modai. Koresh was the king of Paras. He had a son-in-law. If I'm not mistaken, it was a son-in-law was the king of Modai, and there was an agreement. The agreement was there will be like Netanyahu and Gantz. There's an agreement. They can alternate. First will go Netanyahu, and then will go Gantz, right? You believe that? You really believe that the day will come when Netanyahu will step down from being prime minister and give it over to Gantz? I'm willing to bet it's never going to happen. There's going to be some type of political theater where Netanyahu just somehow somehow, you know, technically Gantz can't come into office. I'm going to still be the prime minister, even though I signed on the dotted line that I'm supposed to give it over to him after how many years?
They should be breaking up soon. They should be breaking up soon.
Okay, so like, you know, it's very interesting that that's a very good marshal to us to appreciate what was the agreement between Paras and Mordai. What were they thinking? Paras and Mordai, when they conquered...
What it looks like is that he's saying Greece, but he's just not naming them.
Alexander the Great. The Gibore...
I'm saying the Gibore Odes Kohavim Umazolos Lo Yisrocha, that has to be Yavon according to this line, right?
Right, so we have to match up. Let's match up. According to the Targum, the Se'ena refers to Bavel. Why would we want... Okay, according
to... I wasn't matching up yet because there are too many elements in there.
We have to match
them up. Targum itself...
Yeah.
Between Mordai and Rome, you have Greece, and that has to be the unnamed line in between.
Well, we have Greece, the Gibor Yavon. It says in the Targum. It says in the Targum.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, you don't.
Version.
Oh, we have different versions of Targum here. Aha. Okay, let me read what I have. Maybe I'll put it on the screen. In my version, it says here, Are Malchus Bavalos Siskayam. The Malchus of Bavel will not endure. V'lo saved Shulton al Yisrael. They will never achieve authority over the Jewish people. Period. Then it says, Yiskatlun Malchei Modai. Period. The kings of Modai will be killed. Period. Next, in my edition, V'gibore Yovon lo Yatzlichun. You don't have that?
No.
Wow, okay, I have that in my edition. Maybe I should put this on the screen. Let me put this on the screen for you then. Give me one.
I want
everyone to see. Whoever's here, I want them to see what it says over here. You probably don't have this. Okay, let me. This is important. No, it didn't work. No, let me do this again. Sorry, I don't know why it didn't happen. Let's try this again. I gotta tap this thing over here. It should take the picture the right way. One moment, please.
Does anyone else have the Levine's version? Don't all answer at once. I told you what I had. Marvis, you have the same thing that I have. That's right.
Okay, if you could see what it says over here. Could you see what I have over here? It says Velosavis Shulton Al Yisrael Yiskatlun Malchei Modai Vigiborei. The mighty ones of Yavon lo Yatzlichun. The mighty ones of Yavon will not be successful. Yishteitzoin Roimoei Velo Yigvon. They will be cut down. Okay, Rome will be defeated. Yish teitzoin, they will be defeated. Yeah. Like teretz. What's a teretz in the Gemara? You have a kosher and a teretz. A teretz means an answer. An answer to a question rips down the premise, the foundation of the question. You have a question and you have a teretz. The teretz, it destroys the question. So the word yishteitzon comes from the word teretz. There is a tov and a tzadi. No?
No, not maybe something like yitotzun.
To be shattered, so that's really what it is. The same idea, to be shattered. A teretz in the Gemara. A teretz in the Gemara means to destroy. Rome will be shattered. And they will not. I don't know what that word means. Kisuma Mirushalayim.
Difficult translation here. It says they will not gather rakings
Yigvoin to gather rakings, the bakar, the bakar of Mirushalayim.
Not the bakar, you know, like you rake the lawn.
Right, right. Okay. Any kis, like, kisuma means twigs. Kisuma, I think it means like twigs, something like that. All right, but in essence, what it's saying over here is as follows. If you go, we look at the pasuk over here, he's breaking up. It's very powerful. The Te'ena is a mashal for Bavel. The Gefanim is a mashal. Let's assume the Ein Divul by Gefanim. Let me go one more time. Ari Malchus Bavelo to Skyim. Te'en, look at it. The word the Ein Yivul Bagafanim, he seems to be saying, is a continuation of Bavel. That's a continuation of Bavel. Let's go further. When it says Ki Cheshmas Zayis, that refers to Modai. The Zayis is Modai.
No. The first one has to be Te'ena. That has to be Bavel.
Zayis must be Yavan, right? Zayis certainly must be Yavan because the whole Minhag of Chanukah is about Yavan. Okay, and then when it says Ushedemos lo asa oichel, the Shedemos lo asa oichel is who? That refers to Rome. Romo a lo yigvoin. What?
I don't know why, but then you've got other elements in here. You have stone
and bakar. Gaza mi michla tzayim vein bakar barafasim. Then it goes on to tell you, la'yigvam kisum yushleim. Okay, I hear, I don't know, right? You have to somehow match up. Right, Michal is saying it's never pashut admao, that a zayis must be yavan. Because since the entire miracle of Chanukah all revolves around the Chanukah menorah and the zayis and all the symbolism, so it must be that Kichesh Masa Zayis refers to the defeat of Yavan. When it says...
I could even make a case for Geffen, but I can't think of...
So
like
Geffen... No, Geffen is perfect. That's Purim. Because Parasu Moda, that makes a lot of sense. Because...
Yes. There's a post of Shadmas Amira. Shadayman Amira. So maybe they are related to that alone somehow.
What? Say that again. Who's related? Who's related? Say it again.
I think it's
Shidma Shadmais
or
Shidma from Sodom and Amorah. So who is Amorah? From the Dalet Malchias, according to the Targum, the Dalet, we're referring here to the Dalet Malchias. Sodom and Amorah is long gone. They're not from the Dalet Malchias. We have to match up. The Targum is a little bit vague. We have to match up. The Dalet, the Targum is clearly is telling us here that Chavakuk is signing off. That Klal Yisrael...
Can I point out something?
Yes?
Why would they censor Yavan? You know, in the version that others have.
Okay.
Usually the censorship is about Edwin. Rome and Christianity.
Okay.
Yeah. This is
so maybe this was really an earlier censor. Well, the only censor were the Christians. There were censors. The entire Jewish history there were censors. You're saying very good that this is an indication that there were censors going back in time of Yavan. And time of the Greeks, and they the Targum has been around from time immemorial. And
I don't know. It seems strange, though.
Okay, it definitely is.
This is Phil Friedman. I'm looking at a Nach that was printed in 1618.
Okay.
And the censor crossed out Rome, but left Yavon.
Aha.
Right. That's the normal type of censorship.
Okay, but obviously, there is that. Also, what is kisuma miyushlam? Anyone know that word kisuma? Kisum normally means a thorn. It's not going to be yigvoin is lashon of to be collected. It will not be collected a thorn in Yerushalayim. What is that referring to? That's something very mysterious. What is the Targum referring to with that expression? I don't know. But let's take a step back for one moment. Let's review what's happened. This is a very powerful idea because it's really not all that often that you do find in one shot a reference to the Dalet Malchias. Michal, is that correct? Dalet Malchias is something which you have to really look at the big, big picture. You don't often have it in one shot. It's not all that common. Here we have a Targum, And the Targum in one pasuk explicitly mentions the all four of the Malchus. He mentions Bavel, he mentions Madai, he mentions Yavan, and he mentions Rome. Okay, that's pretty amazing. In one pasuk, for the Targum to say those four words in one pasuk, wow, that's not so simple. And it's also important to know that he did leave out words which we ordinarily put into the Dalva Malchus, namely Paras. We very much, when we talk about the second Malchus of Madai, we very often like to say Paras u'Madai or Madai u'Paras because they were a team. And especially the main bulk of our tzaras in that Malchus was the story of Purim, which happened against the backdrop of the Malchus of Paras, which was Achashverosh, who was a Parsi. And yet, he mentions over here, and he was the one who tried to destroy us. Madai before that, didn't. Madai was the one who took away the power from Bavel, and at that moment in time, things were good. Things were good. Shortly thereafter came Koresh, and Koresh, okay, Rabbi said, please go on mute, we don't want to. Shortly afterwards came Paras, and Koresh, he gave permission. Then his son-in-law, we got sidetracked. I just want to make a simple point. Chazal tell us that there was an agreement between the two nations of Madai and Paras. They would alternate power. That was the agreement. They together as a team conquered Bavel. They conquered the Malchus of Bavel, which at that time was under the authority of Belshazzar. Belshazzar was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had a son, Evel Meroidach. After Evel Meroidach passed away, died, then came Belshazzar. He represented Bavel. Paras u'Madai together conquered Bavel, and there was an agreement between them. They would alternate power. First, a king would Madai ruled, and after Madai's, the king of Madai died. I guess when his malchus came to an end, one way or another, it's not so clear exactly how the kingdom came to an end. Then Paras would take over. After Paras' malchus came to an end, it would revert back to Madai. What happened? Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Once Paras became the world power, they did not give it up. Achashverosh, who was the son-in-law of Koresh, he retained power. In other words, Achashverosh was illegitimate. That's a very important point in understanding the story of Purim. Vayihi bimei Achashverosh. It's like Vayihi bimei Obama. Obama was illegitimate because everyone knows he's not a United States. He was not born in the United States. A birther, right? He was not born in the United States. And therefore, according to the Constitution, he is not allowed to be the president of the United States. How come he has a birth certificate? Because his mother was very wise and she went in Hawaii, and she had a make-believe birth certificate, because who knows the benefits of living. See, even they appreciated back then what the Milos Obama, you know, this whole Black Lives Matters, you know, Obama, you don't hear too much from him, Obama, you don't hear anything from him, in fact. You know, his mother knew the value of what it means to be an American citizen. Ad kidei kach, she legally arranged for him to get a birth certificate that he was born in the United States, not in Indonesia, because the value of what it means to be a citizen in this country and to go spit back at the country is unbelievable. It's just kafui taif. So it's interesting that the same history repeats itself. Somehow Obama was able, I've read this already a few times, and it seems like it's accepted as a davar pashut, that Obama, maybe I'm a conspiracy theorist, but Obama, they have on file his birth certificate in Indonesia. He was certainly born there. They came to America. In America, in those days, you can get away with anything. It wasn't like today. Where? Kenya. In Kenya, came to America. His mother went in. They were in Hawaii. You walk in there to the office. You do whatever you want. Who cares? No one's watching. No one knows. There's no records. Nothing. You do whatever you want. And able to pull off. You do whatever you want. He got a birth certificate. And that seems to be... So, that's it. He has a birth certificate. There's nothing you can do. It says that he was born in the United States of America, even though it's not true. But legally, there's nothing you can do about it. Zehu, that's the end. But the emes is, that's not the way the Constitution was set up. This is just a repeat of history. Because Ahasuerus was equally illegitimate to serve as the melech. Because the arrangement was, Paras u'Mordechai had a solid deal between them. They would alternate power. There would be a king from Mordechai. After the king of Mordechai died, then the power went to Koresh, the king of Persia. And then after the king of Persia would die, the plan was the power would revert back to Mordechai. So why then is Ahasuerus still in power? Because they knew how to play the game. They knew how to manipulate the system. But that's not correct. Who says it has to be correct? As long as you can get away with it, it's good enough. But in truth, he was illegitimate. So the entire story of Purim that begins, Vayihi bimei Ahasuerus, hu Ahasuerus, hamolech mehodu v'ad kush, he was an illegitimate melech. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that speak volumes? Doesn't it open up an entire new perspective in trying to understand the Purim story? Now go back over here. Here in this Targum, there is no mention of Paras. We only mention Mordechai. Okay, we mention over here Bavel. We mention here. We mentioned Bavel. We mentioned then Mordechai. We mentioned Yavon, and we mentioned Rome. In the pasuk, there are different items. A te'ena must refer to Bavel, a fig. The Geffen, it's very good. The Golus of Mordechai Uparas, that's very good, because the entire story of Purim story, which was the main persecution of Paras and Mordechai, was all centered around a mishte yayin, a party of wine. The Zayis fits perfectly with the story of Hanukkah. What are we left with? Usha de'moisle also oichel, the fields. And then oichel, that fits, okay, that fits with Edom, why not? Edom, what is the field? The field represents produce, wealth. Edom, Western civilization has achieved prosperity. The American dream. The American dream is the dream of the entire Western civilization. Prosperity, independence, to have your own home, and to have freedom. That's called Usha Demois, the fields. That's the mashal, the metaphor for Edom. And then when it says Gaza mi michlat zayin ve'ein baka barifasim, that the Targum seems to be referring to a new tekufa, a new galus, referring to. Where I would say, I know Rabbi Michal doesn't like this, is Yishmael. After the Dalet Malchios comes the fifth Malchus, which many will tell us is either a subcategory of Edom, or it's not part, it's not a Malchus, but it's without exception, you cannot ignore the fact that history has taught us that we are dealing now with the situation of Yishmael. The Yishmaelim, they dominate over the world. Their influence has spread far and wide, and they are a threat to Edom. They're a threat to everyone. And if the pasuk here is telling us four, and then it says at the end, it says, Ve'ein gozar mimichlat zayin ve'ein bakar barifasim, this, I would suggest, is a reference to Yishmael. And we have here in one pasuk, according to Targum Yonah, some incredible, fascinating insight of the prophecy of Habakkuk telling us there's nothing to worry about. Bavel will never prevail. Madai will never, Ein Yevul Ba'Gefanim, their Gefanim will never produce yield, will never yield anything substantial. The Zayas of Yavan will be weakened, and the fields of Oichel, of Edom, which is their tool to succeed, to prevail over Klal Yisrael, will not produce Oichel. And the Tzoin and the Bakar that we are associating for some reason with Yishmael, they will cease to exist. And if these things cease to exist, who is going to be left? Klal Yisrael will prevail. They will remain. I always like to go back and review this idea in the Dal Malchias. Dal Malchias are really divided. It's four, which are eight. Bavel, what happened after Bavel? After Nebuchadnezzar died, the Malchus went to Evel Meroidach. Evel Meroidach was a Kasti, not a Babylonian. He was a Kasti. So Bavel is really Bavel slash the Kastim. Modai is Modai slash Paras. Yavon started out as Alexander Mokdon. Alexander Mokdon, and after Alexander the Great died, his Malchus split, fractured into three parts. Three different rulers, three different branches. That was a different tekufa, a separate tekufa in the Golus of Yavon. And Edom, some want to suggest, is also divided into two. There is Edom slash Esav, slash Yishmael. So the four really are eight. Okay, and this is a theme which we repeat many times. It's a solid theme. And notice here that according to the Targum Yonasan, he's very precise. He only lists the originators, the first part of these four categories. He mentions Bavel without mentioning the Kastim. He mentions Modai without mentioning Paras. He mentions the Gibore Yavon. Now that's interesting. The Gibore Yavon, the mighty of Yavon. The Gibore is Bloshen Rabim. Bloshen Rabim. But the Giborim were really, Yavon had a status of being a Gibor only during the time of Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great, he was the Gibor. He conquered the entire world. He was the Gibor. After Alexander the Great, with all of his men, he didn't do it alone. He had armies. And that was his downfall. He wanted to conquer more. And his armies told him, enough. We have enough already. What do we have to go and conquer more? We want to go back home to our wives, to our children. We want to go back and enjoy life. They were the Giboire. I have over here, my phone is doing something funny. The Giboire Yavon. Okay, I just want to take a check. Rabbi said, you still hear me? Just want to make sure, a reality check. Everyone still with me? Rabbi Michal, can you still hear me? Can you still hear me? Everyone can still hear me? Yeah, good, okay. Just want to make sure. Reality check. Just want to take everyone's temperature, pulse. Everyone is still here. The Gibore Yavon really refers to, why does he have to say the word Gibore? What's Gibore? The first part of the Malchus of Yavon, because after Alexander the Great died, the remaining years of Yavon, the Malchus of Yavon lasted 180 years. It was only considered to be on the ascent only in the time of Alexander the Great. Afterwards, it was just the Shirayim. They divide the Malchus, the first part. And then he mentions here Rome, without mentioning Yishmael, and only later, bringing that the Pasuk goes on and elaborates, and it says over here, the Gaza Mimichlet Tzayin Ve'in Baga Bodefasim, can we suggest that this refers to Yishmael. All right, let's go further in the Targum.
Not the pair, that's the exception. So, you know, to say that it's something, when it's not mentioned, there's nothing unusual about that.
Okay, but I do want to make, I think it's an interesting point, that there are pairs. You also have to agree to that fact. There's Bavel and the Kastim, there is Modai and Paras, there is Alexander the Great and then when his malchus was splintered into three parts, and then there is Edom slash Yishmael. In this pasuk, it says Bavel, it says Modai. What?
Or Seir.
Okay, but Seir, fine, Seir. And it mentions Giborei Yavan. Doesn't just say Yavan, Giborei Yavan, which it's interesting. It would make a lot of sense if we are focusing on the peers and we're only mentioning the first peer. It makes sense why you would say Giborei and not mention, because the first Tekufa of Yavan was a Tekufa of Gevura. And the second Tekufa of Yavan, when it's splintered to the three different generals who divided up the Yerusha of Alexander the Great, it wasn't a matzav of Gevura. And then we have over here Rome. All right, let's go further to the next part. Pasuk Yudches. Bechein. Al Nisa Ufurkana Disabed Limeshichoch. Therefore, in regard to the miracle and the redemption, the Purka means the redemption, Disabed Limeshichoch, that you will do Hashem to your anointed one, Ule Sha'ara Da'amach, and to the Sha'eri Sapleta, Di Yish Da'arun, that will remain, Yodun Limeimar, I will give thanks to say, Vanibash, he's taking the word Eloiza to mean I is. All these words, it's amazing how Matagim Yonasan is injecting into the pasuk a whole commentary. Amar Nivia, Va'ana B'memra Da Hashem, Abu'ah, I express, Adutz, joy, Leloka, to Hashem, who is Oved Pur Konit, to Hashem, who has done for me redemption. Let's review one more time. He's adding over here, Va'ani. The one word Va'ani, he has over here five lines of commentary. Bechein, in regard to the miracles, the Nis Ufurkana Desavid LeMashiach that you're going to for the miracle. Doesn't say the word Mashiach over here. Where's Mashiach? Doesn't say Mashiach over here. To Mashiach and to the She'eris of Klal Yisrael, Ulesharona the Amach Di Yishtarun, which will remain, Yodun LeMeimar. So that's Va'ani. Yodun means I will admit to say.
It disappeared. The text disappeared from the screen.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I took it down. Okay. Let me put it back on the screen. I'm sorry. You're right. Okay. One more time. B'chein, therefore, Al Nisa, the miracle, all of this entire section is all in one word, all a reference, a translation of the word Va'ani. Al Nisa Ufurkana Disabed Limshichoch, that you have done for your Mashiach Ulish Oro De Amoch, the remnant of your people, Di Yishtarun, that will remain during this period of time of Mashiach, Yoidun Limeimar, they will Amar Nivia, they will thank. Yodun means to give thanks, to say. So says the Navi. So they will thank you, Hashem. These people will thank you. And Va'ana, and I as well. B'memra da Hashem, through in reference, reflecting upon Hashem's words. Abua means I will express. Adutz, I will jump in joy. The word Eloiz is a very powerful word. It means to shake and to jump up and down in joy. Le'eloka, to the God Oved Pur Koneh, that brings salvation. So he's over here. He's saying over here that in reflection of the miracle of survival, we thank Hashem. Okay, now we go to Pasuk Yutes in the Targum. Eloikim Hashem disoed li b'cheilo, Hashem who is soed, who satiates, satisfies me in strength. Hashem is my strength. Mishavei raglai kalilin, he makes my legs light. Ke'ayalo, so like an ayol, I'm able to run very quickly. V'albeis tukfi yikiminai, and here he says b'mosai is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, my bias of my strength. The bias tukfi, it means toikif of my strength. Yikimin nanai, you lid delay nitzchin. You will establish, you will allow me to establish and to trample upon it with, to trample upon it, to step upon it with victory. Ugvuron and might, all that's nichlal, all that is included in the word yadricheni, has a lot of translation of the word yadricheni. Lididle nitzchonin, that means to be raised up. To be raised up in victory, ugvuron and might. And then he winds down, ukidomohi ano, first I menagein b'sush b'chosi in my praise. Okay, so we have to understand over here, what he says over here, lamatzeach, I made a mistake. You see the word, when he says over here, lamatzeach, he's not translating for the conductor. According to the Mitzudas David, the word lamatzeach was Chavakuk's instruction. Is there a Levi in the shul? You ever go to shul with it? Is it Levi? Levi? Anyone here a Levi? Okay. Ya'amoy b'mekom kohen. They're looking for a Levi. The one to ask for a Levi was Chavakuk. Lamatzeach? Do we got here a Levi? Is there anyone in the house that's a Levi? Oh, you're a Levi here. Bin ginoy soy. Here, take this. Take this prayer. And here are the musical notes. And make sure you do it right. Don't deviate. That is the translation of the Mitzudos David. But the Targum appears to say no. That the word Yad Richeni Lamnatzeach, those two words go together. He writes, Elokim Hashem Chel, you are my strength. Vayosim Raglai L'Kol Hayolos, you've made my feet light. V'albomosai Yadricheni Lamnatzeach. He's breaking with the Ta'ameh HaMikra. The Targum is putting the word Lamnatzeach together with the word Yadricheni. When we go to shul, we hear them laying the Haftorah on Shavuos. You've never heard a Baal Kriya say, Vel Bomosai Yadricheni Lamnatzeach. And then he goes, Beneginoi Soy. You've never heard that. Never. We follow the Tami HaMikra, like the Mitzudos David, the album Osai Yad Richeini, period. And then the one who is reading the Haftarah, he puts together two words, Lamnatzeach b'neginoy soy, which we like to translate, for the conductor, I deliver you the tefillah accompanied by its musical notes. That's not what the Targum says. The Targum says, the album Osai Yad Richeini Lamnatzeach, you Hashem, have given me the power, have given me the siyata d'shmaya to rise up, to be successful, to trample upon to destroy my enemies, to be victorious, to allow me to build my Beis HaMikdash with strength and to prevail with victory and might. Period. And then he says, but before all of that happens, bin gino soy. I first want to praise you in advance. Let's read the words again of the Targum. He writes over here, Elokim Hashem. Now notice the Targum has done us a very big favor in Pasuk Yitesh, just in case you forgot how to read these two Shemos of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, just look in the Targum. The Targum says the correct pronunciation is Elokim Hashem. Disoed li b'cheila, you have given me, you have satiated my neshama with strength. You are my strength. You have given me strength. That's also a very important point, is that the word cheili is not a description of Hashem. Hashem is my strength. No, it means Hashem, you have given me strength. I think most of us would translate these words, Elokim Hashem cheili. God is my strength. Hashem Tzuri V'Goali. That's not what it says here, according to the Targum. Targum learns, Hashem, who has given me, you, Hashem, have delivered the goods. You have given me strength. And what else have you done? Mishavei Raglai. You have made my You have positioned my feet kalilin ki ayalasa, light like an ayal. V'al beis tukpi yiki mi nani. You have established me in my mighty bias. Lid di le nitzchin ugivuron. To be raised up in victory and might. You have raised me up, lamatzeach, in victory and might. Those two words go together. And then he writes, ukidomohi. But before all of this happens, we have to give praise in advance. Ano minagein besush bechosi, in my praise to you. And this touches upon a very powerful principle. We once gave a whole shiur on this, the shiur of nishmas. Nishmas. There is a principle, and maybe it comes from this targum. Maybe this is a source. There is a principle that if a person finds himself in dire straits, in a very difficult situation, there's a technique where a person should imagine that the salvation has already arrived, and shall praise Hashem in advance. And the typical prayer that is used to bring out this idea is nishmas. Nishmas, this is something which lately you've been hearing about this more. Years, I never heard of this before, but now I hear about this more, where people who have problems, what do? Okay, we all know you say Tehillim, you daven to Hashem, and Hashem should save us. That's the ikra, of course. But there's another technique. And the other technique is, imagine the salvation has already come. You have to have so much faith in Hashem that you have to be able to picture in front of you right now as if the Yeshua, what person that he needs, the issue that he's dealing with, has already arrived. And to show your emunah, you have to praise Hashem now in advance. And what nusach, what do you say? Nishmas. The tefillah that we say on Shabbos and Yom Tov before Yishtabach, Nishmas Kol Chai. Why? How does that work? By praising Hashem in acknowledgement, as if the salvation already has come, you are strengthening your emunah in Hashem that He has the power to bring about this salvation. And it appears, if I'm not mistaken, that this is exactly what the Targum Yonasan ben Uzil is reading into the words of Chavakuk. Chavakuk here is standing during a very difficult time in Jewish history, during the time of the Golus of the Aseres HaShvatim, and according to Targum Yonasan ben Uzil, he's predicting what's going to be the Dalid Malchios, which have not even started. Here he is. The Golus of the Aseres HaShvatim is underway. The Golus of the Aseres HaShvatim is not even the Dalam Malchios. That's before the Dalam Malchios. And he's already talking about, oh, Yigevalt, there's going to be a Churm Bayis Rishon by Bavel. There's going to be Tzorois in between the Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni in the time of Haman and Achashverosh. And there's going to be a Golus of Yavon, what they're going to do to Klal Yisrael. And then there's going to be the Churm Bayis Sheni by Edom. And there's going to be 2,000 years of Golus. And we're going to have to deal with Yishmael, who we're describing here as the Bokor and the Tzoyin. And Chavakuk says, don't worry. V'netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. Klal Yisrael will survive it all. They'll survive it to the very, very end. And because I'm so confident they're going to survive to the very end, you know what? Let me sit down right now, during the time of the Golos of the Aseres HaShvatim, and let me recite with my full heart and soul Nishmas Kol Chai, the prayer of giving praise. Isn't that what he says over here? Ukidomohi. Before all of this, Kedem, before all of this begins to unravel, begins to play out in world history, I'm going to take out my violin, my fiddle, Besush bechosi, in my praise of you, Hashem, acknowledging your power, your divine providence, your ability to protect, guide, nurture, direct Klal Yisrael through the long golus that they are, that they will endure in their history. That's what he appears to say. Okay, Rabbi said, today we learned some amazing, amazing stuff. We have over here Lamaskana, two so far, two Mahalchim in the Pasuk. We have the Mahalchim of the Mitzvot David, and says that all of the words here are metaphors for nothing other than Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is a Geffen, is a Te'ena. Klal Yisrael is a Geffen. Klal Yisrael is a Zayis. Klal Yisrael is a field. Klal Yisrael is Tzoin. Klal Yisrael is Bokar. We are everything in this Pasuk. And Hashem says, and Chavakuk says, you're going to survive. You're going to survive. Klal Yisrael will survive. And I thank Hashem. I praise Hashem. I praise Hashem. And that's my, he winds down with Hoidah, like Moedim. Moedim and Achlalachi, an expression of confidence that we will survive. And Chavakuk, he praises Hashem. And his last two words are, is there a Levi in the house? Oh, you're a Levi here. You're in charge. Here is the prayer. Here is the melody. Don't tamper with my melody. Just like on Yom Ha'aretz, don't tamper with the nigunim, the melodies of Yom Ha'aretz. You don't tamper with my melody. Have a nice day. And then we learned the Targum. The Targum says, no, we're not discussing over here Klal Yisrael. We're discussing the Dalid Malchios. Chavakuk is saying that Klal Yisrael will outlive them all. Will outlive them all. And it's fascinating how he ends off the end of the last pasuk. How he ends off, Yad Richeni Avi Alba Mosa Yad Richeni Lam Natseach. Okay, Lam Natseach is not the conductor. Upon my high place, upon the Beis Hamikdash, my bias to Koifi, my bias, the Beis Hamikdash, which is the source of my strength, Hakadosh Baruch Hu will allow me to rise, to erect, to stand proud with victory, Lam Natseach, with victory and triumph. And then he tells us this incredible principle. What are you talking about? You're telling us there's going to be horrors of Dalam Malchios? And you're so confident? I'm so confident? Binaginoi soy. Let's sit down and recite Nishmas Kol Chai in advance to express our confidence that we will survive the Netzach Yisrael. Lo Yishaker. You know, I always say that. You know who told me that to say that line, Vanessa Yishol Lo Yishaker.
I'd like to say something. La Menaseach and the Yinotai has double meaning. We're not talking about music here. Menaseach is the name of Netzach. Netzach Israel. The Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yinotai, he megen alai. He protects me. So with all the Oivim that I mentioned before, I'm going to tell you, I call it two bookings here. And all the Oivim, always Hashem Yagen Alai, the first time, the second time, the third time, whatever it is. La Menaseach, Shehu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hu HaMenaseach, the Kol HaNitchonot,
he will protect me.
Okay,
that's a different shot. That's a different shot. That's not what the Targum says. That's not what the Mitzvah says. That's a different mahalach. That's a third mahalach so far. A third approach to understand these two words. La natseach b'neginosai. The standard run-of-the-mill translation is, for the conductor, I give over to you my melody. The Targum seems to say here the word La Matzeach is not connected to Bin Ginoisoi. It's connected to the word Baal Vialbomo Sayad Richeini La Matzeach. You will give me the strength to prevail, to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and stand firm and proud and tall with victory. Period. And now I want to thank you, Hashem, in advance, even though this has not yet happened yet. And Rav Kalman is telling us another mahalach. La Natzeach b'neginosai is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is the Menatzeach. He is the source of victory. He will protect us. Benegina Isai comes from the word, is the root of the word is the Megin. Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avraham. He's signing off with Avraham Avinu's signature. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the Natzeach, he will be the one who will protect us in Golus. I was concluding, what do I always say that? The Netzach Yisrael Yishaker, you never know what makes an impression upon a person as a child. The first time I went to this, I went to the Siyum HaShas in Madison Square Garden. It was the first Siyum HaShas in Madison Square Garden. I think it was the first one. And Rav Moshe Scherer took the podium in the presence of all of the Rosh Yeshiva. Those days, all the Gedolim were there. It was a different generation. Okay, there was no music those days. They didn't have music. It wasn't an entertainment event. It was a real Siyum. No, there was no entertainment. It was just pure Siyum. It was heavy duty. The Gedolim Yisrael, they spoke Musar. And Rav Moshe Scherer gets up, clean shaven. He had a mustache. And he spoke. I have no idea what he said. I don't remember one word that he said. All I remember is at the end he said, look at this. Look what we have over here. Look what Klal Yisrael has achieved since the end of the Holocaust. It's a testament to the Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. He said those words with such power, with such a zest. Imamish lives on in me ad hayom hazeh, how he said those words. The Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. Isn't that in essence what Habakkuk is saying? The Dalet Malchios, you're in store for Klal Yisrael. What's coming ahead of you? But don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Netzach. The Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. You will be victorious. You will survive to the very, very end. And I can already now say in advance, Nishmas Kol Chai. All right, let's take a short break. And then we're going to talk a little halacha, a little some on the parasha. I want to talk about truma a little bit for a few minutes. And then I want to talk about Chodesh Tammuz. We have now entered into, well, almost, today is really the last day of Sivan. It's Chav Tes Sivan, but today, I assume you all said Yale V'Yavai, Halel, Musaf. Talk a little about Chodesh Tammuz. Be back in 1 minute.
On the US side of Rabbi Meir.